The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, February 20th through Sunday, February 26th, 2023. The commentary for this month was written by Paige Pelfrey, a member of Christ Church in Guilford, Connecticut, where she lives with her three children and two cats. She teaches high school, world languages, and is passionate about mission, community service, and finding scripture and the baptismal covenant in everyday life. The commentary for Monday, February 20th, begins as follows from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 6, verse 12, "Take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And here's the commentary. "I was a Girl Scout," says the writer. "I had a sash of badges and a little green beret. I pledged to live by the Girl Scout law, to be considerate, caring, courageous, and a sister to every Girl Scout. I still have a sympathy card my troop wrote me when I suffered a horrible family loss. The director's daughter was especially kind. 35 years later, I was living in Connecticut, and my life was unstable again. It was the first Christmas since my divorce. The director's daughter was now an interior designer in New York. She must have felt the Girl Scout sister's pain as she announced, 'I'm taking an entire day off, and we are going to see Christmas in the city.' I found out later the Girl Scouts weren't her choice. Her mother pushed her into joining. But she nevertheless lived by the Girl Scout law, echoes of the profound promises and commitments we make in baptism. She brought me out of the first tragedy and remembered to do it again later." And now I'm going to read the entire text from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 15. "When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, and when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The Lord your God, you shall fear him, you shall serve him, and by his name alone you shall swear. Do not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who are all around you. Because the Lord your God, who is present with you, is a jealous God. The anger of the Lord your God would be kindled against you, and he would destroy you from the face of the earth." And the moving forward suggestion and question for this Monday is first to reread the service of holy baptism in your prayer book. How do you help others to grow into the full stature of Christ? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, February 21st. From Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, "Therefore we must pay greater attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." My son just started driver's education classes. No one is more nervous than a parent of a new driver. He's much more aware of what to do than I am, because after 30 years of driving, I don't always do it exactly as I was taught. When I was learning, we didn't have the technology to warn us we were too close. Relearning with him has made me realize how far I can drift. The same rule applies to my spiritual practices, especially after the restrictions of the pandemic. I could listen to or read an online sermon, but I know I need to be with others in worship. I need to pray, listen, and pass the peace with others. If I depend on what I already know and have done by rote, I'll drift away. The last thing I want is a spiritual accident. And now I'll read from the full scripture for today from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the message declared through angels was valid, and if every transgression or disobedience received a just penalty, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was declared at first through the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard him. While God added his testimony by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. And I will praise you, and again I will put my trust in him. And the moving forward question for this day is, what kind of spiritual driver's education might be helpful for you? Seek out those opportunities to return to the basics. And now we'll turn to the commentary for Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent 2023. The date, of course, is Wednesday, February 22nd, and it begins with a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Sometimes the way of life of a Christian may seem odd to others. Certainly Paul doesn't fit the image of a suitable teacher. Paul is a wanderer. He doesn't seem to have a steady job or nice clothes. He is in and out of prison and is beaten up quite a bit. It's understandable that the Corinthians have a hard time accepting what Paul is telling them. They want everything to look nice and go smoothly. But Paul is speaking hard truths about the cost of discipleship, the afflictions, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, and hunger. And yet, even after all of these hardships, his purpose is steadfast and his heart is wide open to the Corinthians and anyone else who will listen and work with him in mission. This type of community lives into the way of Jesus. When we are in sorrow, others offer comfort and can even help us rejoice. When we are poor, we are still rich in spirit together. As servants of God, let us remember this Lenten season to open our hearts wide to one another. And now I'll read the full text from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20b through chapter 6, verse 10. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. And the moving forward statement for this day, Ash Wednesday in 2023, give thanks for those who walk with you in all times. Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, February 23rd. It begins with a verse from the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 16. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their actions. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Ouch! Paul's words here are pretty blunt. We say we believe in God, but our behavior and choices say otherwise. I can think of a zillion glitches as I dwell on this. Practice what you preach. Actions speak louder than words. As faithful Christians, we want people to see us as living proof of a loving God. We try to live our lives as witnesses to the living Christ, but we are not perfect. We will mess up. We will be petty or jealous, quick to anger and slow to forgive. We are utterly human with all of our foibles and failures, and yet Paul lays out the path for us. We must not only profess to know God, but also act in such a way that others will see and come to know Christ. Thank goodness, God forgives us when our actions don't match our beliefs, when we fall short of who God has created us to be. And thankfully, God is with us each time we stand back up, supporting us as we strive to follow in Christ's footsteps in word and deed. And now I'm going to read from the entire scripture of the book of Titus, chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle for Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that is in accordance with godliness, in the hope of eternal life that God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, in due time he revealed his word through the proclamation with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my loyal child, in the faith we share, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. I left you behind in Crete for this reason, so that you should put in order what remained to be done, and should appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Someone who is blameless, married only once, whose children are believers, not accused of debauchery and not rebellious. For a bishop at God's steward must be blameless, He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or addicted to wine or violent or greedy for gain. But he must be hospitable, a lover of goodness, prudent, upright, devout, and self-controlled. He must have a firm grasp of the word that is trustworthy in accordance with the teaching, so that he may be able both to preach with sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict it. There are also many rebellious people, idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for sordid gain what it is not right to teach. It was one of them, their very own prophet, who said, "Cretans are always liars, vicious brutes, lazy gluttons." That testimony is true. For this reason, rebuke them sharply, so that they may become sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths or to commandments of those who reject the truth. To the pure all things are pure, but to the corrupt and unbelieving nothing is pure. Their very minds and consciences are corrupted. They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their actions. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, when have you fallen short of God's expectations for you? And what helps you get back on the right path? And now our commentary for Friday, February 24th, the feast day of St. Matthias the Apostle. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 26b. The lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. The kids and I decided to adopt cats. We were matched with two sets. How on earth do you decide between sweet furry babies that need a home? I prayed, and the kids looked at the photos and videos. What should we do? Cast lots for cats? Well, after looking at the names, my son exclaimed, "Mom, we have to get the black ones. Granddaddy Fred sent them." So the lot fell on Corvus and Ducky, and they have become loving members of our family. I don't know if my deceased grandfather sent them or not, but those kittens sure have brought another element of joy and surprise to our family. When the disciples cast lots and Matthias was chosen, I believe God was there. God works in and through us in marvelous and mysterious ways, in the selection of a 12th disciple, and even in the addition of new companions for our family. And now I'm going to read from the full scripture for this day from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. In those days Peter stood among the believers, together the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. This became known to all residents of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their language Hakeldama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his homestead become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and let another take his position of overseer." So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. And the moving forward question for this day is, have you ever considered casting lots to make a difficult decision? Why or why not? And now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, February 25th. It begins with a passage from the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 14. And let people learn to devote themselves to good works in order to meet urgent needs, so that they may not be unproductive. I am one of those people who needs to be doing for others. I think this desire is part of what compelled me to become a teacher and to be involved in youth ministry. As I watch the news or hear of a need in town, my first thought is always, how can I help? New baby? I'll grab a bag of diapers. Tech week? I'll take food to the theater rehearsals. I once heard a student in North Carolina was living in a car, and I made my husband go riding with me to find her. No luck, but she is okay now. My house isn't always clean, and I am not always caught up on the current Netflix binges. Some may say that I'm unproductive when it comes to housework and pop culture, but I'd rather be driving a group of eighth graders to an escape room for fellowship than washing dishes. I pray to be open and responsive to the urgent needs of those in the world around me, and to make those good works the measure of my productivity. And now I'm going to read from the full passage today of Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show every courtesy to everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. I desire that you insist on these things, so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. But avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. After a first and second admonition, have nothing more to do with anyone who causes divisions, since you know that such a person is perverted and sinful, being self-condemned. When I send Artemis to you, or Titius, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Make every effort to send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, and see that they lack nothing. And let people learn to devote themselves to good works in order to meet urgent needs, so that they may not be unproductive. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with all of you. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, February 25th, do you consider yourself productive in the manner suggested in Titus? How can you respond to the urgent needs in your community? Now we conclude this week's program with a commentary for Sunday, February 26th. Begins with a verse from Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Temptation is tough, as we see in Genesis, the Gospels, and other places in Scripture. Temptation was brutal for Adam and Eve, and brutal on Jesus. Adam and Eve gave in to temptation and were expelled from the Garden of Eden. Jesus, being Jesus, fought temptation and won, with the bonus of a choir of angels coming and waiting on him. We all face temptation. Our success in overcoming it often lies in the support system we've established. I know I wouldn't be able to withstand much temptation without my support system. I have support as a musical theater mom and as a special education mom. When I was first a new teacher, groups helped me navigate those tough first days. When I was getting divorced, my friends and family supported me. We laugh and cry and pray together, and we give each other strength to battle various temptations. If fighting the devil drained Jesus, imagine what it does to us. Thank goodness for the people in our lives who come and wait on us and with us. And now I'll read from the full passage, Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. And the moving forward question for this day, who are the people in your life who give you strength? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of ForwardMovement.org. Goodbye until next time.